From NPR and WNYC, coming to you from beautiful Brooklyn, New York, it's NPR's Hour of Puzzles, Word Games, and Trivia, Ask Me Another. I'm Jonathan Colton, now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Hey, thanks, Jonathan. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. What's up with you?
I'm studying.
You're studying for what?
Well, I'm Canadian, and not long ago, I applied to become an American citizen, and I finally got my notice with my date to take my citizenship exam. And I got to tell you, it makes me very scared. It feels like the tables have turned, and I am now a contestant on a live
I was going to say, are they gonna do it at the Bell House?
Yeah, they're doing it at the Bell House.
Because I'm actually emceeing one of those. I'm emceeing a couple of citizen tests.
Yeah,
make and a little extra money.
Turns out this time there is a prize. There is a prize.
Right. The stakes actually are high. The very citizenship is on the line.
That's right.
As a person who lives here and who didn't have to take this test.
Right.
I often feel ashamed at how little I know about civics in the United States. So what are you finding that there's stuff that you already know because you've been living in the States for decades, obviously.
These questions are very, they're written like trivia, honestly.
Right.
So, but for example, this is the number one question on my study materials. What did the Declaration of Independence do?
I mean, technically, nothing. I mean, it wasn't it didn't legally change anything, right?
This is how I want to, you know, in my fantasies, this is how I've always wanted to do exams. Just come in with a lot of my own ideas.
Come in hot. And come in hot with a lot of disdain for the process. That's what they like to see at these citizenship.
I can give you the answer, but let's talk about the reality.
I mean, I know what you want me to say. You want me to say what the right answer is? You want me to tell you what the truth is?
Right. But the answer is it did nothing. It announced our independence. It declared our independence. And it said that the United States is free, all of these things, from Great Britain.
Mm-hmm.
All right. How many members are there in the House of Representatives?
See, I don't actually know what the answer is.
Oh, I should specify voting members.
Oh, sure. Oh, no, of course. No, I assume voting members.
Are there like a couple people that just
Wait,
have a friend
the
there?
Why? Who are the non-voting yes. members? Just get, everybody has a guest pass?
We call him Good Time Kevin. We love having him around.
Good Time Kevin.
But he does not vote. There are 435 voting members in the House of Representatives. I hope everyone listening to the show right now is nodding their head and going, of course.
Of course, 435, yeah.
And of course, I have to bring, like, you know, a lot of my documents, and but it also says that I need to bring a pen.
I love these lists because it's always like, you could see there's a story behind it, right?
I know.
They didn't
Why
used
they
to
had
say
to
that.
Make the rule.
And then everybody's like, oh, I'm sorry, do you have a pen? I had a pen on a chain, now it's just a chain. The chain broke.
Right. If that'd be good if they give you one of those, like a pen with a huge wood block on it, like, you know, a bathroom
key. Like a bathroom key.
Yeah, exactly. You can have this pen. Yeah, I have no idea if there'll be a sense of humor in that room.
But, you know, I mean, you're a professional entertainer. So I think if you want to lighten it up, come in there with some jokes.
Yeah, I'll end off my whole thing with my tight five on democracy. We have a fantastic show for you today. From The Late Late Show with James Corden, Reggie Watts will play games with comedian Kate Berlant. And we have two former Saturday Night Live cast members. Nassine Pedrad will tell us about her new show, where she plays a teenage boy. And then we'll test her knowledge of I Love Lucy. Plus, Sasheer Zameda joins us again, this time with her TV wife, Caitlin McGee. So let's get to it. We have two fantastic friend-testants joining us right now. Reggie Watts is the band leader on The Late Late Show with James Corden, and he stars in the new SpongeBob movie, Sponge on the Run. Plus, he has his own app called WattsApp. Kate Berlant is a comedian and actor who's voiced several characters on BoJack Horseman. Reggie, Kate, welcome to Ask Me Another.
Thank you for
having us.
Kate, you host a podcast called Poog, which is Goop Backwards. And I know that you always have to probably say that to that because we know from doing word game.
You're radio things. People. Yeah, you understand.
It's so funny how people just can't see it. Yeah, so it's Goop Backwards Poog, and you're satirizing and discussing the wellness industry and products.
Yes. With
fellow comedian Jacqueline Novak. And
yes.
So, Kate, at the podcast, you guys also are transparent about the fact that you're like, also, we would like free stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Have you received anything?
Oh, sweetie.
Yeah?
Listen, so the podcast was primarily truly an effort to acquire free things. And it really goes to show, you ask and I shall receive.
Manifest.
Or whatnot.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's because, some of my favorites, sure, why not shout them out? The Zip Microcurrent Facial.
Oh, that works?
I'm here to say it works. I did it yesterday.
I mean, your skin looks amazing.
Kind of the carving out. But see, like all wellness products, I do them like 2 days in a row, and I'm like, this is my new life, and this is going to generate productivity, and I'm going to finally break through my walls. And then on day three, of course, I'm slack-jawed, unable to do it. You know, through repetition is when habits allegedly take hold. I myself have never been able to find the discipline to integrate something into my life regularly. I'm never going to be awake at 7 a.m. meditating. Right. It's about radical self-acceptance. Right?
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
No miracle mornings around here.
Yeah. Look within, get into microcurrent facials, pray.
Like really small.
Get recovery.
Facials.
Yeah.
I keep thinking that you're saying microcurrency facials, and that seems like
honey, yes. Not awesome.
Another fine idea.
Yes, of course. Yeah, they're microtransactions.
You pay in Litecoin.
Like in facial purchases. during your facial, would you like?
Do you
extra?
Want to do the other side?
Or, it's like, well, sure. Why not?
I love that. There's Bitcoin, and then there's itty bitty coin. That's
itty bitty coin. Yeah, itty-bitty. Oh, that's so cute.
That's cute.
Microcurrency.
It's like you just bought a box of Sprouts.
And Reggie, as the band leader of the Late Late Show with James Corden, you guys are back in studio?
Yes. Yeah, we've been back for a few months, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trevor Noah's coming over today, and I'm going to ask him. My question for him is I'm going to ask him if I can use his pool in all seriousness. So hopefully he'll let me use his pool a couple times a week.
Bring me.
I will.
He'll be cool with that.
Of course.
Yeah, that's cool. Reggie, mm-hmm. Kate, yes. we have a couple great games for you. Ooh. Would you like to play a game?
I'm scared. So I just want to say I famously shut down around games, trivia. I'm sweating, but I'm excited.
You'll be fine. We're here for you. And so, Kate, because you host a podcast called Poog about wellness industry, we have the perfect game for both of you. We're going to describe a wellness product or experience, and you just tell us if it's real or something we made up. We're going to take turns answering questions. Kate, this first one is for you. Horses seem relaxed, right? But maybe it's because they're always covered in hay. A hotel in Italy lets you try that out, offering a luxurious spa experience where you can lay down in a pile of warm, damp hay.
No, I reject this as a practice.
Why?
It just that was my, clearly I'm having a very strong reaction. I just can't imagine that this is real, and I don't want it to be true.
Fair enough. It is real. It is real. I don't know what they do to the hay in between layers. But this hotel offers hay baths, hay peels, and hay aroma massages.
I mean, if you make it all the way, if you're in Italy and that's how you choose to spend your time,
yeah.
I weep for you.
All right, Reggie, if cuddling with fellow humans isn't doing it for you anymore, and you're feeling anxious, try out cow cuddling, the practice from the Netherlands that involves lying against a cow for hours to boost oxytocin.
Against a cow? Is the cow sleeping? Because they're pretty tall.
Sometimes. If you're nice to the cow and it relaxes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is so easy to do with cows. I'm going to say that's not real.
I'm sorry, that is also a real thing.
I don't like it.
No.
Wow.
I don't like it, and I don't want to do it.
And then afterwards, you go for steak.
Get into here. Get into here.
Bill Campbell.
You've been Eisenberged.
I can't go over there.
Okay, fine.
Kate.
Wow. Yes.
Burning sage is over. Now it's about burning money. It's illegal and could land you in jail. But practitioners say ceremoniously burning just even a $1 bill around your home can cleanse the capitalist aura from your space.
I definitely am pro burning money and cleansing capitalism out of our spaces. However, I do have to say I don't think this is a real practice.
Yeah, that was fake. That is
finally fake. Jeez. This game should be, it's all true.
We have done that game. We have done that game.
Okay, of course.
It's tempting. There's a lot of weird stuff out there for sure. Okay, Reggie, have you ever looked at the bird feeder in your backyard and thought, yum? Well, some wellness enthusiasts eat canary seed as a supplement, consuming them whole or buying them ground and mixing them into a beverage.
I would say that it seems like it would be true.
Yeah, you are correct. That is true. Canary seed has been approved for human consumption in the United States and Canada.
Yes.
So congratulations all around.
Thank you.
I used to work for a wellness practitioner in New York. Had no idea what I was doing. It was one of the most stressful experiences of my life because she would have me call her accountant to kind of help get her taxes in order. And I completely panicked and dissolved and created an insane filing system that I'm sure later destroyed her life when I was eventually fired. But I just want to say that she would feed me beautiful soups every day. And she had birds and bird seed, and I always was convinced that because she would sprinkle seeds on top of the soup, truly delicious, and I was convinced that it was bird seed. Yeah.
More with Reggie Watts and Kate Berland after the break, and we'll bring on the first of two Saturday Night Live cast members on today's show. Sasheer Zamata competes with her new co-star, Caitlin McGee, in a game about apologies. Sorry, not sorry. I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and this is Ask Me Another from NPR. This message comes from NPR sponsor Discover. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year automatically, with no limit on how much you can earn. It's amazing because of all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/match. 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Sierra Nevada Brewing Company. Brewer Terrence Sullivan shares how brewing beer is often a science, but to achieve the right flavor profile, it can also be an art.
The science is the process of making the actual beer, and the art form comes from the brewer of literally weaving in different hops. They're just adding some nice little zest to it.
To learn more, go to SierraNevada.com. Must be 21 years or older. Please drink responsibly.
On NPR's Pop Culture Happy Hour podcast, we talk about movies, music, and more, like why The Great Pottery Throwdown is a comforting binge watch, and a look back at some of Chadwick Boseman's essential performances. All of that in around 20 minutes every weekday. Listen now to the Pop Culture Happy Hour podcast from NPR.
This is NPR's Ask Me Another. I'm Jonathan Colton. Here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thanks, Jonathan. We're playing games with Reggie Watts from The Late Late Show with James Corden and comedian Kate Berlant. Are you ready for another one?
Let's do it.
Yes. So you're going to team up and work together on this one.
No.
We don't get along. Sorry. So our producer should have reached out.
Yeah.
We
don't. Did they not?
There's just kind of a disconnect there.
Fine. Okay. I guess if we have to.
All right. We'll give it a shot. So you're in for a treat because Jonathan Colton is going to sing you the clues in this game called Alternative 80s.
Yes, we have changed the lyrics of alternative songs from the 1980s to make them about things from the 80s. But the twist is that those things could be from the 80s of any century, not just the 1980s.
All right. Good luck.
Thanks. Thanks very much.
First time guitar player. Here we go. See how he does.
Really should have taken lessons.
It's okay.
Okay, here we go.
Mummers make me scream. Gritty haunts my dreams. Still you'll find me eating Scrabble and tasty cakes. Water ice and Geno's cheese sticks. Put some onions and peppers on that John.
Sorry, I was actually so swept up in the glory of the music that I failed to even play the game.
It's a great song. Every time I hear that song, I remember what a great song it is.
But I saw Reggie, you immediately smiled at, like, within the first couple chords of this.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of my favorite. It's just one of my favorite songs. Everybody Wants to Rule the World by Fears Over Tears.
Fears Over
exactly.
Tears.
Right. Exactly. Yes.
Any guesses as to the place?
Philadelphia.
Cheese. Yeah, blends. Is that
cheese blends?
Well done for a bonus point. Can you tell me in what 80s decade Philadelphia was founded?
It had to be freaking 1689.
Yeah, 1680s.
Beautiful.
1680s is correct.
I'm going for the exact
thing. You're making it extra hard. I appreciate it. 1682.
Yeah. I'm rigorous, 1682.
Kind of yeah.
Yep.
Okay, here's another one.
There's Adam on the ceiling. He's a reclining hub. God's giving him the finger, or else he's pointing to his junk. That's one of many frescoes in this part of the Pope's home. Staring up at the ceiling, woke up with a sore neck in Rome.
Oh, yeah. Sistine Chapel, Pixies.
Mm.
That's correct.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's right.
The old Pope's home. The old Pope's home.
Whenever I hear the word fresco, I go somewhere.
I know. I think of a refreshing beverage every time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's a kind of love it or hate it thing. I know people who love fresca, and I know people who can't stand it. That's too much of a diet flavor for me.
Fresca brings up a lot of trauma for me, but tab
is like weirdly,
tab I miss tab tasted good.
I don't know what it, I think it's mostly the nostalgia tab, and if they ever bring Zima back, which I have a Zima in the fridge, it's a reissue, but it looks exactly like it did in the 90s, and it's like
I don't know, it just
sits in my fridge, and I hope no one just goes, oh, let me grab it. No,
it's a huge risk.
Where did you get a Zima reissue?
My mom's best friend's daughter in Montana. We went over for dinner, and she's like, what do you want? We have bye and like a couple other things or whatever. And she's like, oh yeah. And she just like put out all the drinks, and one of them was a Zima. And I was like, where the hell did you get the Zima? This is crazy. And I was stoked because they have it in Japan. Zima exists in Japan, but it's not in the bottle. It's not in the classic bottle. It's like a fountain drink or whatever, and they mix it with alcohol. But yeah, anyways. Zima.
I never had it either. Is it alcoholic or not? Like a wine cooler? Yeah, okay.
It's a clear malt beverage. It's like a clear beer.
Mm-hmm. Goes down smooth.
Yeah, Kate would drink it.
Kate would
absolutely
totally drink one right now. For a bonus point, can you tell me in what 80s was the Sistine Chapel completed?
1780s, I'm guessing, probably.
Earlier.
No,
so
there's no way.
Oh yeah, Sistine Chapel.
It's impossible. They didn't have paint before the 1780s. No.
They didn't have ladders.
This was AD.
No. Yeah, they didn't have ladders. Yeah, that was the thing. Everything had to rely on tall people.
It was earlier than the 1780s. It's not the
1780s. Okay, earlier than
1680s.
No, I'm going to say 15.
It was the 1480s.
I'm ashamed. This cannot air. I cannot be seen like this.
I know. If Cape Verlant gets the century wrong for the Sistine Chapel, the whole world's about to.
The whole thing.
Oh,
sham.
No.
All right, here's another one. You can redeem yourself with this one.
Don't fret, just look at this. If you don't know what day it is, Julius Caesar got the leap years wrong. The Pope replaced his version with this one.
Oh. Gregorian calendar.
Gregorian calendar, yeah. That is correct, yeah.
And we were never the same, were we, folks?
We were never the same. Never the same. Still dealing with that stupid decision. And then, of course, Eurythmics, These Dreams. Amen. Or Annie Lennox. Yes. But no, it was Eurythmics.
At that point, Eurythmics.
For a bonus point, when did Pope Gregory XIII introduce the Gregorian calendar?
I refuse to
you're not even going to wade into these dangerous waters.
Well,
we're going to need some dangerous waters.
So it was after the Sistine Chapel. I'm going to help. It was after the Sistine Chapel.
Oh, it was after the Sistine Chapel.
I already forgot when that was.
1580s.
Yes!
1580s is correct.
I just did the math.
It was earlier.
I did the math.
You did the math. You counted how many leap years.
I did the conceptual math. Yeah.
Yeah, there was a whole thing where the Julian calendar was, they had leap years in the Julian calendar, but they happened every 4 years. But it was still a little bit off, and so over time the calendar would slip until it'd be like,
I mean,
it doesn't feel like January.
Mm-hmm. I can't, the anxiety that this kind of logic gives me, because I truly cannot fathom it, and the invention of time and all of that makes me spiral into non-meaning.
It is a little upsetting, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like that's such a personality to be like, I'm going to create a calendar. You know, that's insane.
Yeah. Hey, guys, megalomania. I feel like creating a calendar today.
Okay, Jules, what you got?
Thank you so much for, sharing the genius and bringing so much to all of these games. Kate Berland hosts the podcast Poog. Reggie Watts is in the movie SpongeBob, Sponge on the Run, and has his own app called Watts App. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. This was so fun.
Thank you.
Our next two contestants are ready to go. Sashir Zameda and Caitlin McGee play a married couple on the new ABC series Home Economics. Sashir, Caitlin, welcome to Ask Me Another.
Thank you.
Hi, thank you so much for having us.
So you guys, we're talking about this new sitcom that you're both in called Home Economics, and the two of you are a couple in it. Mm-hmm. And they, when describing the show, of course, it's going to be compared to a bunch of other shows out there. But I did see that there was an attempt to make fun of that.
Yeah, the first promo that we have out, it was like, we had like a Home Economish poster to compare it to Black-ish, and then our photo shoot was literally like posing like Modern Family, because it is like a blended family and like three different families in one big family. But I think it's different because we really focus on the economic status that we are all going through separately and how that can affect the family at large.
Right. So it's sort of like a very rich sibling, middle class, and then struggling to get on their feet.
That's us. We're the poor ones.
And what are your fictional jobs?
I'm a second grade teacher in the show.
Right.
And I'm a therapist for low income, at risk kids.
Right. So basically doing the most meaningful work.
Yes, correct. Yes.
And making the least money.
Yeah, making the least money.
Making the least money. Yeah. Most all over difference in like, children's lives, but that doesn't matter as much.
Yeah, it doesn't come out in coins.
Turns out, yeah.
Right. And then you throw that into a sitcom. Ha ha ha.
Yeah, exactly.
So, all right, we have a couple great games for the two of you, and let's dive in. Are you ready for some games?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're going to take turns answering questions in this one. This is an audio quiz called Love Means Constantly Having to Say You're Sorry. We're going to play you a clip of an apology from a television show or movie, and you just have to tell us what the movie or show is.
Okay. Ooh,
okay.
So here we go. Sashir, this first one is for you.
Wilson! I'm sorry! Oh. I'm sorry, Wilson! Wilson, I'm sorry!
Oh, okay.
I know. Caitlin has her hands on her heart. It's heartbreaking.
Oh, heartbreaking. Is it one.
Castaway?
Yeah, that's right.
I actually couldn't hear what it was.
I thought it was Rosa. Did you hear Rosa?
I definitely knew it was Tom Hanks' voice, but I couldn't figure out who he's screaming to.
No, you heard his subliminal like acting cues. He was saying Rita.
Oh, that's what it is. Because he was picturing his wife. Yeah, I understand.
She's like off camera, like, thank you. I do deserve an apology.
Finally. Okay, Caitlin.
Okay.
This is a clip from a 2019 book to movie adaptation.
I can't change how I feel, and it would be a lie to say I do when I don't. I'm so sorry, Teddy. I'm so sorry, but I just can't help it.
Is that Little Women?
It is Little Women, yeah. That's right. You got it.
Okay. I had a second where I was like, okay, it's Saoirse Ronan, but like I actually couldn't tell. I had a split second where I was like, huh. I personally like the Winona Ryder. I worship Greta Gerwig. But have you seen the like 1990s one recently?
Yeah, that's the one I remember really well. All right, Saoirse, this movie adaptation of a book stars Keira Knightley and Matthew McFadden.
After what you have done for Lydia, and I suspect for Jane also, it is I who should be making amends.
You must know. Surely you must know. It was all for you.
Okay, I'm just going to tell you that Caitlin was basically reciting this speech.
I have full body chills. I know that entire speech. I just recently made my fiance watch that, and he was just like, okay, it's just people sitting in different rooms. He was like, they're just, I'm sorry. I don't want to give anything away, though. It's Saoirse's turn.
Is it Pride and Prejudice?
Yes.
Okay.
That's right. That's right. Elizabeth Bennet and Mr. Darcy. Of course, written by Jane Austen. So that's a favorite?
I used to study to that soundtrack. It's like a really beautiful orchestral soundtrack. Mm. And so I have a very like Pavlovian thing where I'm like taken back to a specific moment. Whenever I hear that soundtrack, it just really hits me. I don't know if the movie holds up or if it's just my personal sentimental thing with this movie, but when he walks across the mist of that field at the end, I feel like I'm just transported. It's so hot. He's wearing like a cloak and it's floating. Yeah. It's like really, it's peak hotness. Yeah.
A cloak.
All right, Caitlin, the last one is for you. This is from a beloved 90s sitcom.
Will and Carlton are sorry.
Fresh Prince, of course.
Yeah, that is correct.
Oh, man. I like that we mixed it up on that one. That was like it was heartfelt, but through song, you know?
Yeah.
All right, we have established that you know your apologies. Well done. Nice game. We're playing games with Saoirse Zameda and Caitlin McGee. Are you ready for another one?
Yeah.
All right, so this is a multiple choice game. It's called Idioms from Around the World. Idioms are sayings that don't literally make any sense, like it's raining cats and dogs, right? So in this game, we translate an idiom from another country, and you decide which American idiom it most closely matches.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we are going to go back and forth with this one again. So, Caitlin, this is for you.
Mm-hmm.
In Portugal, when someone says, you hold the candle, it means you're A, a backstabber, B, a third wheel, or C, a candle maker.
I don't think it's a candle maker, although that is what I want it to be.
Yeah, very literal.
What do you say, backstabber?
Are you sure? Just checking.
Yes. Yeah. That's my final answer. Yes.
Okay. Sorry, you're incorrect.
I know you were trying to help me, but I just had to stick to my guns.
That was fine. It's a third wheel, as in like a couple is having a date and the third person has to hold the candle.
Oh, that's so sad.
To make the night romantic.
It's so much worse than the metaphor
that's
of the third
so
wheel.
That's so much worse.
Yeah.
You're in charge of their lighting.
Oh, my God. It feels really degrading.
It's really degrading.
Just standing there.
Just watching them make out.
Just watching them, like.
Yeah, right, exactly. Bring it closer.
Saoirse, in the Czech Republic, if someone is walking around in hot porridge, they are A, blowing off steam, B, drinking before 5 p.m., Or C, beating around the bush?
Walking around in hot porridge.
May I just say this is like my one of my deepest fantasies.
To walk around in hot porridge? It does so fun. It does sound like a new age like spa thing.
Yeah. Porridge treatment.
Okay, I'm going to say drinking before 5 p.m. because maybe you're like
I
groggy.
Wish that were true. That's actually a fine guess. It's beating around the bush is the answer. The idea is the porridge is very thick and it slows you down from getting to the point.
Okay.
So it's like you're talking at me like you're walking around in hot porridge.
Oh, I see.
All right, Caitlin, in Poland, what does to have a fly up your nose mean? Does it mean A, to be in a snit? B, to have an annoying voice? Or C, to eat like a horse?
I'm going to say the fly up your nose, that's too mean to criticize someone's voice. So I'm going to hope that it's B, in a snit.
You're correct. It absolutely is.
All right, Sashia, this is the last one. In Italy, if someone tells you that your eyes are lined with ham, it means A, you're a pig, B, you look hungover, C, you're sticking your head in the sand.
Probably hungover, like your eyelids are droopy because you're tired, and so they're lined with ham.
A fine guess, but it's incorrect. Actually means you're sticking your head in the sand. Your eyes are lined with ham, and you can't even see the ham that is there. This is Italy. They're very food related.
Yeah.
It's prosciutto. You guys did great. Thank you so much for joining us. Sashir Zamita and Caitlin McGee star in the new show Home Economics, Wednesdays on ABC. Sashir, Caitlin, thank you so much.
Yes, thank you. It was fun.
After the break, former Saturday Night Live cast member Nassim Pedrad tells us about playing a teenage boy in her new TV show, and she'll try to remember what happened in classic episodes of I Love Lucy. I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and this is Ask Me Another from NPR.
Support for NPR and the following message come from BetterHelp, offering online counseling. BetterHelp therapist Hesu Jo explains the importance of creating a safe space for therapy.
I can't tell you how many times I've had clients that say that expression, like, I've never told that to anybody. That's when I know I've made some kind of momentous move with this person. They feel safe enough to expose that part of themselves, and doing that together with somebody else can be very powerful.
To get matched with a counselor within 48 hours and save 10%, go to betterhelp.com/ask.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from the Walton Family Foundation, where opportunity takes root. More information is available at waltonfamilyfoundation.org.
The news is about more than what just happened. You need to know why it happened, who made it happen, how it's felt in the communities you care about. NPR's daily news podcast, Consider This, gives you all of that, with context, backstory, and analysis on a single topic every weekday. It's not just information, it's what the news means. Consider This from NPR.
This is NPR's Ask Me Another. I'm Jonathan Colton. Here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thanks, Jonathan. It's time to welcome our special guest. She was a cast member on Saturday Night Live for 5 years, and now she created and stars in the new TBS series, Chad, where she portrays a 14-year-old boy navigating his first year of high school. It's Nassim Pedrad. Hello.
Hello. Thank you guys so much for having me.
I love talking to comics, comedians, actors about early gigs because they're always good fun. And I read that when you were starting out, you had a gig dressing up as Dora the Explorer and going to children's parties.
Starting out with a deep cut, yes.
But
I did.
But I read that the company didn't really provide you with a decent costume.
No, they didn't. Budget was always a concern with this company. And the vibe was basically like, are you a criminal? No? Cool. Do you want to work for these birthday parties? And that was that was all it took. But in my mind, I was like, you know, oh my God, like, will I get to play a princess? Can I be Princess Jasmine? Will I be in mm-hmm. these like amazing costumes? And they were like, you're going to be playing Dora the Explorer, that like tomboyish child who's friends with a monkey, and you're going to have to figure out your own costume. So best of luck to you. I had a wig, which just yeah. looked like a short bob. And then pretty much just like short leggings and a t-shirt and a backpack from Target. It was
yeah,
like...
the backpack, the famous backpack.
That's it.
Yes. That's it.
Needless to say, parents were very disappointed when they opened the door and saw that they could have like asked a local cousin to do the same thing for free.
So you were born in Iran. You moved to the U.S. when you were three and grew up in California. And you and your sister both gravitated towards comedy, but not only that, succeeded. Your sister's a comedy writer. She's written for 30 Rock and New Girl. So, you know, how did that happen that both of you got interested in, you know, pursuing a career in comedy?
We truly have no idea, like coming from our parents who are funny, but like not intentionally funny. We had immigrant parents, so we didn't understand like what Hollywood or having a career in comedy even meant. I thought it would be cool to be a comedian in the way that it's like cool as a child to think of being an astronaut or Rihanna. Like, yeah, that sounds right. awesome. Is there a sign up sheet? Like, how do you do that? You know, you know, I won't speak for my sister, but she's just inherently from the moment she could talk was just born hilarious and funny. For me, you know, growing up, comedy was a way to belong because it really evens the playing field. If you can make someone laugh, it doesn't matter that you have a weird name or that you have parents that have an accent or that you're, you know, unique.
Yeah, acceptance.
In a certain way. And yeah, exactly. So that's how I grew to find it.
So you sort of said your parents were funny, but not in the, like, was your, did you
like
joke
we laugh
around?
At the things that they say.
Right, right, like, right.
I don't mean to sound rude. It's not like I'm laughing at them. I love them so much, but you know, and they'll kind of laugh with us and not totally understand what's funny about it. And we're just like, but yeah, no, we grew up in a household that was always laughing. Like they do sometimes intentionally make us laugh too. I don't mean to say that they have absolutely no sense of humor. But I mean, I had aunts and uncles. I was lucky enough to have a big Persian community made up of family friends and relatives and distant, you know, cousins and, that were really silly and fun. And a few of my relatives were properly hilarious and would, you know, impersonate other family members. And I would just
right.
watch, you know, I had an aunt that was particularly hilarious. And as a kid, I would just watch her and like study her. And so I was lucky. I was surrounded by a lot of laughter.
And so, you know, you were on Saturday Night Live for 5 seasons. Mm-hmm. And you were known for your impressions, speaking of like studying people, Ariana Huffington, Kim Kardashian. And I read that when you auditioned with like 10 or more impressions.
Some impressions, some characters. I think I even did Kim Kardashian in my initial audition. I might have even done Dora, come to think of it.
Thought when you're doing that job, yeah. you thought it was just a dead end, but it
exactly.
was like,
wait a second.
How you got your SNL job.
Thanks for making me realize I have a lot to be grateful for with that job. It did come full circle for me, I guess.
Right.
So your new show on TBS called Chad, you created it, you wrote it, you star in it, mm-hmm. you do all the things.
I do a lot of things.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting because women voice boy characters all the time, like Nancy Cartwright in The Simpsons, but you don't see it in live action. How did you as an adult woman sell this?
Well, it wasn't a traditional pitch in the sense that I was already in a development deal with a network when I yeah. had the idea. They, I would assume... expected me to write a show where I'm playing a woman my own age. In their defense, that's right. a very reasonable assumption. And I was like, or I could play this 14-year-old boy, but it was a little scary to the network, maybe. You know, it is a bit of a swing. If you don't get people on board for that buy-in, how will the pilot, let alone the series, sustain that? To me, what was so interesting as an experiment was, what if we told a coming-of-age story where the teenager at the center of it was played by an adult who has the perspective that an adult has as to why teenagers are so funny, right? Like, teenagers don't know what's so funny about being a teenager. They're just sort of living it through. Right. They haven't had the luxury of being able to reflect on how, you know, ridiculous that time can feel, how terrifying it can feel. Funny moments get to be funnier and less sad if you're not sitting there laughing at an actual Iranian child. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It does change the show. It changes the makeup of the show. If you were watching an actual teenager, it changes the experience, you know?
Yet the other cast are high school kids.
They are. And actors. That was so important to me, because to have the audience willing enough to suspend their disbelief that I'm Chad, it really was important to me to ground everything around Chad. And so not only did it help my performance, but I think it helps sell the show and the premise of the show to have the actors around Chad be actual teenagers that are earnestly engaging with him and grounding him in a way, you know?
Yeah.
Because you just see them behaving completely as they would if they were acting opposite an actual 14-year-old child actor.
Yeah, and you know, Chad's personality is, he's desperate to be popular.
Yes, he's very,
you know,
thirsty.
That's very yes. clear. But since we're talking about his character, what are some of the things that you are thinking about?
You know, like you said, he has this rigid determination to be popular. That's what he wants more than anything. But he's really his own worst enemy. Like, he gets in right. his way more than anyone. It's not a coming of age story where, you know, like in the more traditional sense, coming of age stories, a lot of, you know, ones that I grew up on, there was a bully, you know, and the main character was oftentimes actively being bullied, and that bully was the bane of their existence. But with this, I kind of thought it'd be more interesting to not have Chad be bullied, and you know, the cool kids around Chad are actually quite progressive and and tolerant of him. They're pretty nice. They just kind of don't notice him, which to him is even worse somehow.
The worst.
But
yeah. So I also just have to ask you were in the live action remake of the Disney movie Aladdin in 2019, and your character Dahlia was the only new main character added to the adaptation. So, you know, did appearing in a huge Disney blockbuster kind of change your life?
Oh my gosh. It was definitely the biggest thing I had done in terms of scale.
Yeah.
I mean, I showed up on set and was like, wow, the money was spent, guys. The money, no corner of the set was spared. I was just, you know, I wasn't totally sure what to expect. I had put myself on tape and improvised a bunch of different versions and just, I gave them like different options. So by the time I got cast, I was like, what do they want me to do? which one, which take? And what I came to realize was that Guy Ritchie is just incredibly collaborative, and he insisted that we have these true rehearsals. Like, a lot of times when you're blocking for TV or film, it's not really an acting rehearsal. It's more of just like a blocking rehearsal, like go stand here, right. say this line, go over here. But to his credit, like he it almost felt like we were rehearsing for a play every day. And I mean that in the best way. Like, he really got into it and would ask us questions about, where is this character at? What do they want? Like, what can we find on the day? So I didn't even know I'd get to do that. So it was really fun to be able to have that experience.
All right, Nassim, are you ready for an Ask Me Another challenge?
Let's do it.
Okay, so you told us that as a kid, you loved watching I Love Lucy.
I did. Oh, she was so good.
How did you come across that as the thing that you loved?
It was just on.
All the time?
All the time. And so it was just kind of a two-for-one, in the sense that I was learning about comedy and literally how to speak English as well at the same time, because my parents were speaking Farsi, or, you know, Persian to me, so that I didn't lose that either. And so some of my earliest memories of living in America is just like sitting down and watching I Love Lucy, and to, you know, see someone that funny and so ahead of her time, like, for a woman to get to be that silly you know, at the time that her show was on.
Yeah.
It's pretty remarkable. And she was just obviously the best. Like, so I have a lot of nostalgia associated with the show. That being said, I also have a horrible memory. So let's see how I do on this quiz.
So, yeah. So based on that, we do have an I Love Lucy trivia game for you, because we were told that you can remember what happened at the end of almost every episode.
Who told you that?
Well, it's okay. It's all right. We're going to do this together.
We're going to make this work. Well, we're about to find out.
Yeah. So the game is, Jonathan and I will tell you how an episode of I Love Lucy begins, and then you tell us how that episode ends. So in the classic episode, Job Switching, Lucy and her best friend Ethel try to prove that they can work jobs, while their husbands Ricky and Fred try to prove that they can do the housework. So Lucy and Ethel take jobs at a candy factory. Ricky and Fred attempt to cook. What happens? How does it end?
The belt speeds up.
Yes.
And they can't keep up with the chocolates that are flying by them. So am I wrong to say Lucy starts to eat them and shove them in her hat?
Yeah, that's all right. That is correct.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, do you remember what happens with Ricky and Fred?
Drawing a blank with those two on that episode. What happened with them?
They make a mess. They're terrible at cooking.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a catastrophe.
That was what my gut was telling me. I should have gone with it.
That's yes. Right. And then, there's like a little moment. The button is that Ricky and Fred give Lucy and Ethel a 5-pound box of chocolate as a gift.
Oh, that's right.
And it's like, yeah, wait.
Remember this? It's like, remember this trigger?
Yeah.
All right, here's another one. In Lucy Does a TV Commercial, Lucy gets a gig promoting a health supplement called Vitamita Vegemin. Yes, which contains 23% alcohol. The commercial is performed live during a musical variety show hosted by her husband, Ricky. How does this one end?
She gets wasted, right? She gets wasted on live television.
That is correct.
And she starts slurring her words and it does not go well. Yes.
That is absolutely correct. And she, at some point, drunkenly interrupts Ricky's singing performance during the live broadcast.
Yes.
And he ultimately has to carry her off stage. Yeah.
That's right.
Oh, come on.
I remember that performance.
Really brilliant.
So good.
That one is incredible. And actually, there's a world record. As you know, there's a lot of world records that Lucille Ball lookalikes love to try to achieve. And there was a world record for the most Lucille Ball lookalikes, which is 915, by the way. Just imagine that. Like, you know, in the way that one ladybug is sort of adorable, but like 915 would be frightening. But they are under a Vita Meta Vegemin sign in Jamestown. Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
All right, I remember this one. In Ricky Has Labor Pains, Ricky starts developing the same symptoms as his pregnant wife. Nausea, dizziness, stomach pains. His doctor says it's because Lucy isn't paying enough attention to him. And he's feeling neglected. Lucy convinces her neighbor Fred to throw Ricky a daddy shower.
Oh my gosh.
I'm so surprised that this just didn't take off, by the way, the whole idea of a daddy shower. And Lucy and Ethel get suspicious when they hear Fred refer to it as a stag party. How does it end?
Okay, so he had a baby shower.
A daddy shower.
A stag shower. I mean, I definitely don't remember this, but I'm just going to take a wild guess.
Did the
women dress up as men and show up? Yes? Am I right?
I mean, basically. Correct. Yeah.
Did they try to blend in by being one of the guys?
Yeah, they dress up as newspaper reporters that are supposedly writing a trend piece on daddy showers. So, yeah, that's exactly it.
And I wonder if that episode was reverse engineered. Like, if they started from, let's have Lucy show up.
Yeah, right.
In this, and then how can we get there? I wonder.
That's possible.
Oh, to have been a writer in that writer's room. What a fun room it must have been having someone like that.
All right, this is the last one. In Lucy and the Loving Cup, Ricky is hired to present a trophy honoring horse jockey Johnny Longden. Lucy buys a new dress and a fuzzy hat for the event. Ricky thinks the new hat is ridiculous. How does it end?
Oh, I absolutely remember that clip of her getting her head stuck in it. Am I crazy?
Yes.
Yeah, that's it.
Crazy. Yeah, it ends with the Ricky presenting the trophy to Johnny with Lucy.
That's right.
Still stuck with the trophy on her head. And it is never in the episode revealed if she gets the trophy off.
They ran out of time. They had to cut to commercial. They didn't have time to wrap that up.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, that's the wrap.
Yeah, go so, out on the joke.
Go She's out on the joke.
Go out on the joke, that's right.
Nassim Pedra's new TBS show, Chad, is out now. Nassim, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh my gosh, thank you guys so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
That's our show. Ask Me Another's house musician is Jonathan Colton.
Hey, my name anagram to Thou Jolt a Cannon.
Our puzzles were written by our staff, along with Madeline Kaplan, Kara Weinberger, Emily Winter, and senior writer Karen Lurie. Ask Me Another is produced by Travis Larchuk, Nancy Seychow, James Barber, Ramel Wood, and our intern, Sophie Hernandez Simeonitis. Our senior supervising producer is Rachel Neal, and our bosses' bosses are Steve Nelson and Anya Grunman. We'd like to thank our production partner, WNYC. I'm her ripe begonias,
Ophira Eisenberg.
And this was Ask Me Another from NPR. Hey, you're still listening. Fantastic. So since you're still here, why not pop over to Apple Podcasts and write us a review? We'd love to hear from you, and it also helps others find out about our show. For information about new episodes, bonus videos, and more, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Thanks. Next week on Ask Me Another, Yo-Yo Ma talks about playing his cello at a vaccination site. And then we challenge him to a game about pop songs that quote classical music. Plus, chefs Sola El Whaley and Stella Parks improvise recipes in a game of food jazz. So join me on NPR's Ask Me Another, the answer to life's funnier questions.